RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
All right, everybody, welcome to Crush Performance. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. We're your weekly source for performance information. If you do want to get in touch with us, reach out. Crushperformance.com is the website. On these social media platforms, you can follow me on Twitter. Again, it's a practiced art form, this social media, but we're getting it. At Jeff Crush is our Twitter handle. On Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, just search out Crush Performance and we'll hook you up with the world of performance because that's what the show's all about. Today on the show, I'm kind of excited about this time of year. As everybody knows, there's so much going on. All the major sports, college sports, high school's back. And everybody's getting back on track. Today, Connor, we are going to just sort of quickly review the NFL, talk about what we're watching, what we think is going to be really cool storylines. We're going to talk with our good friend, Josh Hornmeyer, who is a sports psychologist, but more of a mental performance consultant. Great young professional. We're going to talk about athletes transitioning in the progress of their careers. A real important conversation. I just spoke down at the University of Lethbridge here, and it was really interesting to get feedback from athletes, parents, and coaches about some of the trials and tribulations they have moving up the ladder and trying to move up the ladder and what you need to understand. Great conversation coming up with Josh, for sure. And then later in the show, we're going to talk about the main factors that we have determined influence the progress of sport performance in athletes. Our number one priority, and we're going to lay it out for you later in the show as we get to your text. Here's the question of the day. Okay, we're going to talk with Josh a little later on. We're going to talk about some of the stories going on in the news. We're going to talk about athlete transitions and the top priorities for athlete performance. What are the biggest challenges facing athletes today? What do you guys think? Get to us. 101260 is the text line. You can also get to us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. What are the greatest challenges you as an athlete faced, or if you're a parent or coach, some of the greatest challenges that athletes face? There's one thing we can do for sure. It's learn from everybody else who's gone through it. And there are some things that make it difficult moving up the ladder. You know, we've talked to agents and scouts. We've talked to GMs. We've talked to the athletes themselves. Everybody has a different perspective on what's difficult in terms of moving up the ladder. But there's some common threads out there. Again, the question, what are the most difficult things athletes face as they move up the ladder and work towards their goals of either playing pro? Heck, you know, even with our pro athletes, as they transition from team to team, or they work from the minor leagues to the big leagues, or trading from team to team, there are tough things that athletes face. We're going to talk about that with Josh. I'd like to know what you know. Connor, a lot of things going on in the news. A couple of weeks ago, we talked to Bob McKee of RBC Sports, Professional Sports Wealth Management. And there was an unbelievable story that broke here this last week regarding ex-NBA superstar Kevin Garnett. $77 million, poof, gone. And that goes back, when I saw that headline, it went right back to that show we did a couple weeks ago. That is a big sum of money. And he's not the only NBA guy that's missing tens of millions of dollars. I was alarmed by that, Connor.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful when you reach the success level and have that much money, who you put your faith into, because some people have no conscience apparently and are able to do something like that. That's terrible.
Yeah, in Garnett's story, his accountant and his wealth management advisor worked together to somehow, still not very clear, but somehow either just launder, disappear, hide this money, making it look like it was working for him, but now it is gone and they're in court. It's nasty business. Hey, I'm just telling you, the top three priorities as we enter programs, enter athletes into the programs, there's three things we look at. Listen, I'm looking at the idea of really understanding where you're at and where you want to go. You got to have a passion for what you're doing, but you also have to have a really clear understanding of where you're at, where you want to go. That's a top priority when any organization or any athlete starts inside of our programs. One of the first things we look at. Also, we got to have an idea of where we stand in the world of performance in your sport, in the big picture, and where you're at right now. It's really, really important to have a true belief that you can accomplish your goal. And then number three, that has to happen. It has to be there. And it's maybe the most overlooked one. It's the financial model. You have to have a solid financial model. It distracts and destroys more careers, I think, than probably at least as much or more than anything else in terms of distractions from sport or, you know, things that don't allow you to truly reach your potential. That money part of it has to be great. And this Kevin Garnett story, we're following with great interest because that's what we just talked about a couple weeks ago. Finding really good, reliable financial advice is so, so important. One, when you're trying to put together the finances to achieve your goals as a young developing athlete, and when the money starts coming in, most certainly, all right, you need to have a financial advisor to have that long-term plan. So we'll watch the Garnett story for sure. Also in the NBA, Connor, Steve Nash, how great is that? NBA Hall of Fame, good Canadian kid, but he impacted basketball globally. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think for Canadians especially, just the thought that he made it there and was able to do what he did, winning the league MVP twice, for what he and Vince Carter did for Canadian basketball is outstanding. And Vince will be in the Hall of Fame one day. And great for Steve Nash to get in there last night. And had a very good speech as well.
Oh, how about that? His greatest memory or his greatest, the greatest part of his entire career was playing in the Olympics for his country, wearing that badge, man. How many athletes just want to wear that flag on their back, regardless of where they're from, regardless of what sport. So great to hear that. Just a fantastic acceptance speech from Steve Nash. Fantastic. Hey, in Major League Baseball, also some great stuff going on as the playoff picture is starting to come together. How good are the Red Sox, man? They are on our list of teams to watch this year, but they are now tapping on the door of 100 games. They're at 97 going into today. They're going to get to 100 games, and they're going to sail into the postseason with New York well behind them.
And New York is having a heck of a season. They're 35 games above 500. They're still 8.5 games back of the Red Sox. What they're doing right now it's amazing.
It is. And they're the Yankees are closing in on the single season home run record. They're on pace right now. And not only that, but listen, they've had major injuries. They've lost Judge, Sanchez, and Gregorius for a number of games, which has put a dent in their home runs. But they're on track right now to break the 1997 Mariners record of 264 home runs in a season. Crazy stuff. And they're not even close to being in first place in that division. The AL East is just a black hole of baseball, man. You're just got to do Toronto, Tampa Bay, Baltimore. What a raw deal. I wonder if we should start rotating divisions just to give other teams a chance.
Even Tampa Bay, I mean, they're 8 games back in the wild card. But I mean, if you factor in that they've had to play the Yankees and Red Sox so much, any other division, maybe they find a way to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. If you look at their win-loss record, they could definitely compete. So lots going on in sports. And of course, the NFL is underway. Man, it was raining at the start of the season opener. And I'm going, they're not going to delay this game because of rain, are they? Let's play. I like to watch the old footage where they're just playing the old mud bowls, right? Covered in mud, dirt and grass and dirt flying everywhere. What did you think of the season opener?
It looked like a season opener. Yeah. You know, I think both teams were a little rusty. I think some of the star players like Julio Jones didn't play much in the preseason. So it's going to take them a little bit of time to get back into the swing of things. But Philadelphia did a good job. They found ways to get them get the job done on the goal line, keeping Atlanta out. But it was a season opener.
Yeah.
Overall, it wasn't the greatest game.
I agree with you. Are you looking forward to the season? Of course you are.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, it all kicks off here right away. And perfect time for us to look at the teams, players, storylines to watch in the NFL. We do this, at least we try to do this at the start of every professional season. Again, we always say, everybody, if you want to know what to do, look to the pros. There's so much to learn up there. Hey, Connor, let's start here. Your teams to watch, and in no particular order. Maybe we'll finish with your number one team, but in no particular order, do you have like teams you're interested in watching, even though you might not be a fan of that particular team?
Well, to be totally honest, I am a Chargers fan, so I always got to watch what the Chargers are going to do. But there's a few teams I'm going to be keeping an eye on. Obviously, the Cleveland Browns have won one game in the last 2 years. If they win 5 games this year, it's a huge success for them. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, and does Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick, get into the lineup? The Oakland Raiders with John Gruden. Bold move, trading away your best player for a couple draft picks. Not going to help you this season. I'll be interested to see what he does. And we've seen it in the past. Guys like Jeff Fisher, John Fox, kind of those old school coaches that had success, you know, early 2000s. It doesn't translate into success anymore. They've had a hard time adapting to the newer game. I wonder if John Gruden will be able to adapt after a decade away from it.
For $100
million.
He better adapt. He better translate something there. And I don't know him that well, but I've been a Raiders fan forever for some particular reason that I can't explain to anybody. But I have always been a Raiders fan. Maybe because I'm an underdog guy. I like cheering for the underdog. But Raiders are one of my top teams to watch as well. Hey, let me ask you this. We looked at last year. We talked about all the new coaches in the league. And if we look back and at the success they had, I think you're right. There's a new age of player. The game has changed so much. And I wonder if these sort of old traditional, old school coaches can make that leap into the new NFL. Gruden is going to be a great, great example. But there's also those legendary coaches that just know how it goes down. And we could talk about Belichick right there.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. Some of these guys that have been with their team for so long. Look at Sean Payton with the Saints, Mike Tomlin with the Steelers. You got Harbaugh in Baltimore, Mike McCarthy with Green Bay. I mean, obviously, Super Bowls are kind of the common theme there, but they've been able to adapt to the new game.
I think that goes back to our comment earlier that, you know, when we want to figure out what's making these great franchises, teams, and athletes tick, that is a very, very important factor. If you look at the teams in the NFL, and we always talk about the NFL being one of those parody type leagues, right? Because at the start of the season, you could probably rule out maybe a few teams, Connor, but for the most part, there's a good number of teams that have a legitimate shot of being successful in the season. But if you look at the teams that have year after year really showed well, there is a pattern, and that's consistency in ownership, management, coaching, and the core group of players.
Yeah, I mean, the good franchises have been good for a long time. The Steelers, obviously, you have McCarthy there, but you have Aaron Rodgers. Quarterback's huge. So all those teams that are always along the top of the standings have that key quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, whoever it might be. The consistency is key.
Yep. Are you watching the Rams? Of course.
Yeah, for sure. And what Sean McVay did last year with that team. I mean, he was 30 years old, starting as an NFL head coach, coming off a season where the Rams looked so bad. And I blame Jeff Fisher. The team, to me, was a 4-win team. And then they go out there and win their division against the Seahawks and the Cardinals. And what he did last year was outstanding. It's going to be interesting to see what they did, because they brought in some players
who have
had sketchy track records in the past. Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, Ndamukong Suh. I'm interested to see what happens with those guys. And if they don't start off great, do they start becoming a problem?
Yeah, right. And I think maybe can this young coach handle those kinds of personalities, right?
Yeah, I mean, he does have Wade Phillips as defensive coordinator, which is huge.
Yes.
But he's still the head coach. He has to handle those things.
He's got good people around him. Do you think they overachieved last year? Come on, let's face it.
For sure, yeah. I mean, we probably thought they were, like I said, I thought they were a 4-win team. Jared Goff looked bad. Todd Gurley was coming off a bad year. They did not look like a good football team, and he turned it around.
And that's exactly why I'm watching them this year. Can they do it again? Expectations are obviously higher this year. Everybody's expecting at least that or more. So they're going to be fun to watch. Okay, two more teams I want to talk to you about. Let's go to the Eagles, of course, and what their outlook is for this year. I mean, hey man, they look good.
Yeah, and doing it with a backup quarterback when Carson Wentz comes back, assuming he's in his form from last season. I think before his injury, he was without a doubt the NFL's MVP. Tears the ACL, out for the rest of the stretch there. Nick Foles comes in and leads them to victory. I don't think he looked great in game one, but like I said, so many of these starters don't play much in preseason. I think it takes a little bit of time to get into the flow of things, and you know, you can't really mock or recreate the intensity of a real game.
Yeah.
Practices, it's not going to happen. Preseason, it's not going to happen. Once the game gets going, it's full on. And I think the first game was just kind of a process of getting the rust off a little bit.
Yep. I agree. Hey, I want to talk to you. Let's hold this over to the end of the show. We got Hootie coming up here right away, but I want to get to players to watch this season and some of the issues the NFL is facing in terms of increasing player safety. Incredible stuff. Hey, the text question of the day again is, what are some of the big challenges that athletes in this day and age are facing as they work their way up the ranks? A couple great texts have come in. Social media scrutiny, most certainly. The doping and the testing now, and the all of the opportunities out there. and scary opportunities in terms of extracurricular activities. You're under the spotlight like never before as a young athlete. Keep those texts coming in. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about exactly that. Hints and helpful ideas for athletes who are transitioning and moving up the competitive ladder right after this on Crush Performance. Support for Crush Performance comes from Flavanaturals, a brand changing the way people think about and consume chocolate. Flavanaturals harnesses the power of nature with a line of breakthrough decadent chocolate bars and cocoa powder with an amazing 500 to 900 milligrams of naturally sourced cocoa flavanol antioxidants per serving. You've probably heard that the cocoa flavanols found in dark chocolate promote brain function, heart health, and exercise performance. But did you know you'd have to eat at least 5 typical dark chocolate bars a day to match the flavanols used in many of the studies? Flavanaturals chocolate is made from all natural ingredients and contains 5 to 9 times the cocoa flavanols of a typical dark chocolate bar. This is achieved by starting with some of the highest antioxidant cocoa beans in the world and preserving flavanols using all natural preparation methods. And just as important, Flava bars and Flava mix taste fantastic. My true test group is my wife and 3 daughters. When they got their hands on the bars and mix, they loved them. They loved the flavors of the bars, and they're using the mix to make chocolate drinks. They're using it in baking. They're putting it in their yogurt. I'm putting it in my smoothies for snacks and for recovery, and you can too. Go to flavanaturals.com today to learn more and enter the discount code CRUSH for 20% off your next order. That's FLAVANaturals.com. Discount code CRUSH with a K. Chocolate was your weakness. With Flavanaturals, it's your strength.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
And welcome back. Jeff Crushell here, the con man. We're your weekly source for performance information. Reach out to us. We answer absolutely every single message and question we get. Crushperformance.com is the website. Info@crushperformance is the email. On Twitter, it's at Jeff Crush. And on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, you can just search Crush Performance. We've got a great following. And on our website, you can sign up and subscribe for our newsletter. We're just spreading the good word like we do each week here on the radio show. And I want to thank you guys all for tuning in today because it's a real, real important show. I love the start of the NFL season. And Connor, of course, is a big NFL fan. I got to ask him why he likes the Chargers. I just don't get it, but we'll get to that in the next segment. We're also going to talk about which players we're watching and why. Again, we always talk about, you know, learning from the pros. If you want to know what to do, we say look to the pros. We also say sometimes if you want to know what not to do, look to the pros. And we all know those stories for sure. But either way, the process of chasing down the dream of top performance is not always easy. Every single person who has aspired to greatness, however they define it, has faced adversity, challenges, roadblocks, speed bumps, however you want to look at it. It's never easy. And I think more so than anything, what makes these top performers special, and if we talk in the world of sport, the professional athletes, what makes them special is not so much who they are, right? It's what they were able to commit to in order to make themselves special. I hope that comes across and makes sense to everybody because that connects in my mind. Connor, I don't know if that makes sense, but what makes great athletes and great performers special is not so much who they are personally, because we know there's some characters out there. For the most part, every athlete I've ever come across has only been maybe one or two that I would invite home for dinner. They're great people, but they've gone through the process of making themselves special. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that's part of the process that makes them get to the level that they get to.
Yeah, they're special because of what they were able to do. And that has a lot to do with the people around them and their support structure. And of course, that perseverance, commitment, grit, determination. But there are speed bumps, as we said, distractions and hardships along the way. And here to talk to us about that is our good friend, Josh Hoytmer, a.k.a. Hootie. Hootie, welcome to the show, my good man.
Thanks for having me on, Crush.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about this, Hootie. You know, you and I have known each other for many, many years. I met Hootie as a young athlete, a young baseball player, I don't know how old you would have been, Josh, at that point.
I think it would have been 14 at the time.
Yeah, 14 where you and I first met, and our paths just sort of, I've been crisscrossing throughout the years here, and here we are. Welcome to Crush Performance, your first appearance. I'm glad to have you here. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks again.
So your background, interesting. coming from a young, small community baseball player, finding your way into the world of high-performance academy baseball, forging your way forward, and then going into university for psychology and mental performance, and here you are today helping young athletes strive and build in organizations as well. Hey, let's go back to your start, Hootie, as a young baseball player from a small community and your mindset going into it, and maybe quickly how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, I guess it all started back up in Wasetna, a small town northeast of Edmonton, about 45 minutes. And it really started with grassroots baseball, just going out there, having fun, playing the game. And at that time, you got a ton of reps, right? There wasn't a travel team at that time. It wasn't selection. You showed up and played. And for me, that was a huge benefit because you just got a ton of reps. You had fun doing it. And then as you got older, if you were better, you ended up getting selected maybe for a higher level. And as the years progressed, I was lucky enough to perform at a level that allowed me to play on a variety of teams that eventually led me to the Baseball Academy in Vauxhall its very first year. And that's where I believe I really had my start in my career, in the sense of knowing what I wanted to do. And that was having the exposure to our sports psychology consultant who was working with the organization at the time, Christy Gelaretto. And from there, the rest is history. Went on to the college for 2 years, then University of Lethbridge, and then ended up taking a master's in counseling psychology and now working in the field and working and supporting athletes from Alberta and all over the country.
Yeah, you're the center coordinator and mental performance consultant for the Alberta Sport Development Center, which is fantastic, helping young athletes find their way. And Hootie, sometimes, as you know, you've been through the process, and that's why I think this is a great conversation for everybody out there. It doesn't matter what level of sport you're at. Heck, it doesn't even have to be sport. Everybody is faced with adversity along the way. And I always say that one of the greatest things we can do as mentors, coaches, and part of a performance team, whether it's your children, whether it's a team you're coaching, or whether it's high-performance athletes, is helping them make decisions. And a lot of that is putting the decision-making process back on the athlete, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's as simple as having a conversation with them, trying to find out what's their outcome goals, where are they at with the process. And I think a big thing is having perspective. And a lot of times, working with youth athletes and even some of the more experienced athletes out there, they sometimes lose that perspective because they're so focused on the outcome. So it's as simple as sitting down and having that conversation with them and finding out where they're at, and then what are those next steps for that next day or the day after or that week to week, and finding the people around them that can support them in that journey.
Yeah, and finding the people around them and how influential they can be. Hootie, let me ask you this. How much if you look back to your developmental process, how much of the people around you influenced your approach right now as a young professional in the world of sport performance? Just your take, your approach to helping other young athletes now. How much influence did your coaches and your support team around you have on how you operate right now?
Yeah, I mean, from the coaches as a young athlete, in the way they plan practice, the way they stayed organized, the ability to allow you to fail, but then push you to continue to succeed through those challenging moments. That's something you learn as an athlete that carries with you as a student at university all the way up through the days working as a professional in whatever field you choose. But then when it gets to that academic level, it's the people around you and the things that they studied and their expertise, and then the friends and relationships you build at conferences. These things are all huge and influence your perspectives and your approaches to your day-to-day work. But for me, personally, I've been lucky where I've had great mentors in the strength and conditioning world, you know, pointing to you, Crush, and then also in the mental performance world with Dr. Charlene Orr, and then also Christy Gelaretto, where they're both the academic, and then you also have that counseling psychological side, and having both perspectives influence my daily practice has been priceless and also very rare. So I feel like I've been very lucky in my process of becoming a mental performance consultant. But yeah, the people are huge, and having good people that support you and genuinely care about you, it's a game changer for an athlete and as a professional.
Yeah, and I wonder if young athletes out there realize how much power they have to make those decisions. Sometimes you can feel powerless in that type of decision making, because it can sometimes feel like you don't have control of
who's around you, but you really do. At the end of the day, you're in charge of not only who's around you, but how those people affect you, good or bad.
Absolutely. And we have to also trust our gut feelings, right? You talk about the three brains. We have our actual brain, our heart, and then our stomach. And sometimes our gut is right. And if you don't feel comfortable with a person, or it just doesn't feel right, sometimes you have to trust that and have that uncomfortable conversation, whether it be with a parent or maybe a teammate, to see, you know, is my perspective right? And then you have that conversation with someone who can help you along the way. But yeah, sometimes trust your feelings. I mean, if your perspective's there and it's an accurate one, I think it's okay to speak up and look for people to support you and stick with those who do support you, even if you go through the levels and that person was maybe someone who was there at the very beginning. Stay in touch with them. It's huge.
Yeah, we're talking with mental performance coach Josh Hoitmer. Josh, listen, you had a great experience in your academic career when you were doing your master's in counseling psychology. You got involved in the Emotion and Performance Lab, looking at stress and coping for transitioning athletes. And the transition as you move up or, you know, sort of change your surroundings, that can be really, really tough. Hey, what did you take away from that? I really like the whole concept of this study and the entire lab there that you guys have in terms of emotions and performance.
Yeah, at the University of Lethbridge, we had a fantastic lab with Dr. Charlene Orr, who was leading it at the University of Lethbridge. And the thing we looked at with that study is the transition that athletes experience in high school going to an academy. A lot of the literature has a lot of information in regards to athlete transitioning out of high school, going to college, and then transitioning from that college level to professional sport. But there's very little information in regards to that athlete who is transitioning at a younger age. And that is happening more and more across Alberta and the country and in the U.S., where kids are now leaving their home in grade 9, 10, and 11 to live hundreds of kilometers away to pursue their dreams. So it was a rare opportunity, and we took it and went with it and interviewed a handful of athletes, transcribed hours and hours of interview information. And the general consensus at the end was the athletes who, whatever stress they are experiencing, one of the strongest coping mechanisms was that social life. So the staying in touch with friends and family back home, making relationships with their teammates and coaches and new students with whichever school they're at, but then also getting into the training of whatever sport they're in. But the biggest thing and the most consistent theme was staying in touch with family members and building those new relationships, help them transition easier and more quickly in the beginning transition of entering an academy or going to a new high school.
Sure, we see that in some of the junior hockey programs as well. These kids are moving away from home young, very young. The high school academies and junior academies now. Kids are now changing the locations where their families might live. Or like you said, they're moving away. I'm not sure. You know, I would have been, as a kid, ready to move away. I grew up in a small town and a farm. I'm not sure if I would have been able to do what some of these young kids do, moving away and doing it. I left home pretty early to go work to make money for a university. But, boy, I don't know if I would have been done it. So I have great respect for the families, but more for the kids who really buy into it and make it happen. This is great information for anybody who's part coaching or an administrator for an academy. Great information. I think you have to purposefully make that kind of an environment for those new incoming athletes to make sure that transition goes smoothly. Communicate regularly with your parents, but also have those really strong team building, strategies when the athletes do arrive.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the role that we have, that I have with Hockey Canada, is helping support our team in short-term competitions, use team-building exercises to develop those relationships. You have a short amount of time to bring a group of guys together from the West Coast to the East Coast, guys who speak French, from guys who maybe not traveled a ton. And that's going to be a key to your success, is how quickly can you bring that group together and have them create relationships with each other while it's still being a highly competitive environment. So it can be done in short-term competition where you have a week to 2 weeks, and it can be done at a university where you have 1 to 5 years with athletes. So it can be done short-term and long-term.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, so in your experiences, what are some of the more powerful strategies you've used in those short-term environments? Because we see this everywhere, man. Hey, we look at select teams, or we even look at some of the tryouts and showcases that are happening now everywhere in every single sport. This is some strategy that I think parents, coaches, and athletes can use across the board.
I think a big thing for us is just get the guys doing something where they're interacting with one another, and a big piece is getting the coaches involved, having them a part of that process to show that they care, right? That they do care about you as a person and want to get to know you as a person, you know, before being a hockey player, before being a baseball player, because at the end of the day, we are all just regular people who partake in sport. Right, even though our sport might be a large part of our life, at the end of the day, we can all relate on simple things like I have two siblings. I have a dog named Bert and a cat. Oh, I also have a dog and a cat. Or, hey, I also moved away from home in grade 9. And all of a sudden, you have common things, common pieces of your life with other players and all of a sudden your friends because you're chatting about simple things outside of your sport, right? So it can be done as simple as, hey, go around, introduce yourself to uncommon things about you or two common things and get the coaches involved, get the staff involved. And that's where it's really successful. Getting the athletic therapists, the strength guys, sports psych, get everyone involved as one big group.
Yeah, that's a performance team. And there's so many opportunities now from the social media standpoint. Facebook, I mean, Skype, you have texting, Twitter. You can see your mom, for crying out loud, pretty much whenever you want, which is huge. You know, here's a story for you, Hootie. You know, I remember watching Aliens, the very first Aliens, way back in the day, VCR, Beta, the big machine you carried around and hooked up to your TV. And I remember watching, maybe it was the second Aliens, but anyway, the lead actress, Sigourney Weaver is talking to somebody on a TV screen live, face to face, and I'm going, oh man, would that ever be cool to be able to talk to somebody through a TV? And here we are, we're able to do it. There's so many opportunities now to stay connected to your roots and your home base, right?
Absolutely, yeah. FaceTime, Skype, and it's almost so common now that some guys might prefer it at times, where it's like, hey, you don't have to be, you know, in the same facility. Let's just catch up quickly over FaceTime because maybe they're on the road traveling or in a different city at that time. So it's you know, evolved with the times. And I think there'll be more things coming up in the future that we don't know about that will make things even easier somehow. Who knows?
Yeah, great stuff. Talk about forging new ground and making transitions. You've been through it as well. We're talking with Josh Hoytmer, the mental training performance consultant. Josh, hey, what is your website? You have a new website handle if people want to get more information on you?
Yeah, it's my last name, HoytmerMPC.com. And you can throw that into Google and you'll probably be able to stumble upon it. And then also throw my name into Instagram. You can find me there as well. Yeah, sure, sure. Information and materials regarding mental performance and other areas. So yeah, stay in touch.
Yeah, great stuff. Hey, the 2017 Canadian Sports Psychology Association Young Professional of the Year, my man. Congratulations on that. Give us a little insight.
Yeah, that was something that shocked me. Got nominated by a colleague. I believe we went through the process and got a phone call one day. It was a pretty exciting time. I was away with Hockey Canada, got a phone call. You're the 2017 Young Professional. Congratulations. And it was a bit of a whirlwind. I mean, it's always great to be honored and awarded something. And yeah, it's also nice to verify that I am doing something right and maybe I can sleep a little bit better at the end of the day. But once again, it keeps you hungry, right, to keep working and keep pushing and to see what's next over the hill or over the horizon. So, yeah, no, it's great. And a lot of great young professionals before me who've won the award as well. So it's pretty cool. It's exciting.
Yeah, it certainly is. And the mental performance side of sport is just, it's just a budding area. It is one of the areas I believe that has the greatest potential for pushing human performance forward. And it's changing rapidly, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah, it's moving quickly. I mean, there's some new piece of technology that's coming out every other week, and people who have used it, professional, Olympic, that like it. And then you try to look at the research to see if it's supported by anything. So it is challenging to stay up with what's happening. But at the same time, I think doing simple better, just like Joe Maddon says with the Cubs, is the best way to go about it sometimes too. You don't necessarily need all the bells and whistles, but yeah, I mean, we can look at the neuroscience now of it, really looking at brain health for mental performance. There's a lot of information out there, and you keep reading and you keep learning.
Yeah, great. Your website one more time, Josh.
It's hootmermpc.com.
Beautiful stuff. Josh, hey, thanks so much for your time today. Really, really appreciate you coming on the show. Congratulations on that award, and we'll look forward to having you on again here soon.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
A fantastic conversation, transitioning, and you can apply these principles in any aspect of life where you're just moving up the ladder, working to get better. Fantastic stuff. Hey, when we come back, we're going to get to the text and Twitter pool. What is the hardest part of transitioning for athletes? Being away from home, homesick, moving up the ladder as professional athletes, changing teams, moving your families. There's a lot of considerations there. We're going to get to some of the text, and we're going to talk to Connor, but why the Chargers? Right after this on Crush Performance.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Jeff Crochelle here. Hey, we got to thank Josh for coming on the show here. Mental performance consultant. Really good conversation about transitioning and creating environments where athletes can make that transition. If you're a parent, coach, administrator of an academy or a school, or you know, if you're an athlete moving away from home for the first time or changing teams, there's a lot of strategies you can use to make that transition smoother, because that is sometimes very, very difficult. And one of the things we know about performance athletes is we have to find every way possible to limit distractions, because we know distractions not only decrease performance, they also can really lend a hand in increased risk of injury. So a lot of great information from Josh there. So the question of the day, what are some of the toughest transitions or toughest issues athletes are facing today in transitioning and moving up the ladder? And there's been some great texts. Again, 101260 on Twitter at Jeff Crush, but some really, really good ones. And what I want to get to first here is social media scrutiny. Connor, there is no escape for athletes nowadays. You have to be heads up all the time. You have to be a pro on, off the court, in and away from competition. There's no escape because there's somebody watching all the time now. It's a very different world.
Yeah, I mean, we live in a city where people were yelling at Connor McDavid saying he sucked. Like, it's terrible out there for professional athletes, celebrities. Someone's always on you. There's always cameras. There's always phones. You're always going to be seen. So you're right. You have to do, you know, just be very cautious.
Yeah. Another one here that I really like is the supplements and doping regulations, the PED and drug screening programs. Yeah, this is a new world. I mean, we're hammering down on this stuff. Last week, we talked about in the news that the president of the IOC said that doping is a battle that we just can't win. But yet, last week, Travis Tigert, who is the director of USADA, the U.S. anti-doping organization, says we are very, very close to wiping out doping in competitive sports. So we have two incredibly different views from two people who are in that world. That being said, you have to be careful. Look, if you're an athlete looking for a college scholarship, a pro draft, or if you're looking at just competing for a national team, you have to be hyper aware of what goes into your body. Now, we've heard all the stories. Sharapova is a recent one, right? Where she was taking a medicine she thought was approved. It wasn't. We've seen it in the NHL here recently. We've seen it in the minor leagues, in Major League Baseball here this year as well. You have to be very, very careful what you put into your body. And when it comes to supplements, you have to get something that it's at least screened or approved by one of the organizations. And the two things that we look for are the NSF certification, which is sort of the powerhouse. NSF certified for sport certification on supplements. That's all the organizations are using. That's the only thing that they'll promote to their athletes. And first choice is, or informed choice is the second one that we'll look for our athletes. But we also have another monster looming here, Connor, and I wanted to get your impressions of this really quickly, is the legalization of marijuana. We've seen it in numerous states in the U.S., and it's going to be coast to coast here in Canada. Even though it's legal inside of your borders, it's still a banned substance. So athletes are going to have to be really, really careful with this new marijuana legislation.
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting to see. I mean, I know there's been former NFL players who have really pushed for the use of cannabis as pain relief and not to get high. But well, maybe that's part of it too, but just the pain relief aspect of it. And it seems like the NFL really has no interest in doing it, but they'll keep handing out those pills. But yeah, that's something they have to watch out for.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we'll see how that goes, because I think the research is growing and it's going to grow. And the CBD oil is also in that conversation. We need now to make sure that the CBD oil that our athletes are using is pure and safe. And here's a great one from Dave. I really appreciate this. This came in through our emails. Dave, thanks for this one. How do you identify who is an expert? Who is an expert doctor? Who is an expert physio, trainer, dietitian? This is a great question. And I'm Dave, thank you for that one, because I didn't even think of that one right now. We've had this conversation before on the show, but that is so important. And here's all I can say when it comes to that. All right. All I can say is you need to do your homework. If you're going to entrust your career or your development or your rehabilitation or your nutrition to somebody, a trustworthy somebody, you have to do your background checking. You need to interview the people. That's what I would say, Dave. Interview the people. Word of mouth is also very powerful. I would seriously, and I tell my athletes this when they're going away on their own, moving back home away from us, or if they're training in different parts of the world, you need to get references from the people you're going to let into your performance team. Okay. References, do your homework and interview them. Interview them, find out their background and see if they have the certification and the knowledge and the background you need to help you get forward. And if you don't know, ask somebody who might know. Heck, send it to us. Not that we know everything, but we could vet it out for you for sure. But that is a really good one. I want to thank everybody for writing in today as we vet out the question, what are some of the road bumps and hardest things athletes face in transitioning as they move up the ladder. To close out the show, again, I did say that we would go through our top priorities, and I'll tell you what they are right now, and I'm going to dedicate part of next week's show to this. I'm going to go a little more in depth. If you've listened to the show, you know what they are. Rest recovery is our number one priority for performance. Sleep is the number one human performance factor. If you're not taking care of that, nothing else matters. The dietitians might argue that, hey, you can't sleep well if you're not eating well, but sleep comes first in my books. Nutrition, hydration is right there, close second. Those work hand in hand. For our competitive athletes, posture, range of motion around the joints is number three, and then movement. Everything else falls after that, okay? We're going to talk about that, and I'll go in depth next week, so stick around for that. Connor, we don't have enough time, but I've got to quiz you about the Chargers, man.
Doug Flutie,
there you go, everybody. Hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have any questions, comments, smart remarks, get to us at crushperformance.com, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Everybody, do me a big, huge favor and welcome to Duffified Live, Zia Mara Hall.
My husband is, he was a major, he was a lieutenant colonel select, and he was the highest ranking African-American officer to be killed in the war to date. Wow. He'd gone to Iraq, and I've been a military spouse for 6 years. And, you know, he was deployed all the time. We were, you know, we were your average family, really. I mean, from a military standpoint. And after he passed away, I took a year off, and I decided that I wanted to cook. Like, it's, you know, everything we do is around food. People don't realize how important food is. But if you're celebrating a birthday, you have a cake. If you're doing a wedding, there's food. If you're doing Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, everything revolves around food because it's sustenance, it's life.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.